Okay, at this time, I would like to introduce the first speaker, Ernestine from South Potomac area. Let's welcome her. Okay.
Hi, family. I'm an addict named Ernestine.
Hi, Ernestine.
It's good to be clean. I'd like to thank CPRC, Program Committee, my friend Eric P., for asking me to come out and share my experience, strength, and hope on the 10th, 11th, and 12th tradition. And I really like what they put in the program booklet, the title, In the Best Interest of Narcotics Anonymous. My clean date is March 21st, 1991. So last month I celebrated 21 years in this marvelous program. And I gotta be honest, when I first arrived, I did not plan to stay 21 years. I was trying to figure out a way not to go back to jail and to be able to eat crabs and drink beer. That was my goal. And after being here, I learned how to eat crabs without the beer and a whole lot of other things. I'm suffering with some kind of issue going on in my right ear for the past 3 or 4 days. I can't wait to get home and make a doctor's appointment. I thought it was my allergies, and I've been taking Claritin. It's really not going. It sounds like I'm in a bubble, and everything is so loud, you know, and it pops like I'm in an airplane. Bear with me. Tradition 10, Narcotics Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the NA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. And I remember first coming into Narcotics Anonymous and being very opinionated. I wore my key tags down my side from 30 days to a year. And everybody in my neighborhood that was still using heard on a daily basis, "Get away from this car! I'm clean! I don't smoke crack anymore!" Yeah. And I remember getting involved in service very early in my recovery. In fact, I had 7 service positions for 7 days a week. A lot of people thought that was too much. But I'm the type of addict that if I had too much free time, and I'm a thinker, I'm in trouble. So being in service helped me to get clean, stay clean, to keep coming back, to develop some social skills, you know, because I remember my first time coming to this convention, I had less than a year's time, and every, like, 2 steps that I walked, I saw somebody that I saw at a meeting. I was getting to know at a meeting that I went to. They remember me from some other meeting, and it was exciting, and it gave me a lot of hope, you know, to keep coming and to keep being involved. And in my service work and developing friendships with people who had more clean time than I had and who had been in this program longer than I had, I didn't understand that I had my own right to vote based on my belief and my higher powers relationship. So a lot of times at group consciences, I would vote because my friend voted. You know, I think my self-esteem was so low at that point that I didn't realize that I was had every right like everybody else. You know, and they say opinions are like a-holes. Everyone has one. I'm getting older now, so I had to make some notes. So I'll refer to those. The principle of the 10th tradition is unity and responsibility. So what happens is, like, when this fellowship was first developed, the public had an opinion of the addict as bad, right? They labeled us. They said, once an addict, always an addict. And I believed that. When I was smoking weed in my early 20s, I thought I was going to be smoking weed in a wheelchair in my late 80s, you know. And so Over the years, Narcotics Anonymous, in its own success, has changed the minds of many people in the public. They now look at us as people with quality, people who are strong, you know, because we go through a lot of adversities and we come out clean on the other side. The thing, though, about outside issues as it refers to the general public and for specifically treatment facilities and psychiatric institutes and other organizations who deal with addicts and try to help addicts get clean don't always agree with Narcotics Anonymous' way of doing things. You know, like I've had the opportunity to sponsor young ladies coming out of a program in my area, and they have meetings that come inside. And I attended one of these meetings one time, and it was this guy who raised his hand, and he shared that he was an alcoholic, and he was cured because there was some pill that they were giving him in the treatment facility. It's like, what? But we believe in abstinence, complete abstinence, right? I've had young ladies that wanted to work the steps, but they were on methadone. This program and our literature suggests abstinence has to come first. So we stop using, and then we work the steps. So just in saying all of that, you can see the variations of opinions. So we try to steer away from taking sides on what the treatment facilities and other organizations believe in. And we try to explain our program to the best of our ability as simple as possible. Sometimes that's hard when you're dealing with non-addicts. I have sponsored women who came into the program with a husband already and children, and they want to be clean. They truly do, but they're not open to the fact that staying clean got to come first. They're not open to staying a little bit early, coming in a little bit early or staying a little bit late after the meeting to learn how to fellowship, to get into service. They want to come into the meeting and dash out the door as soon as the meeting is over. And then they don't understand why they don't have any friends or why they don't understand what's going on in this process. So we have to be responsible in providing an atmosphere of recovery at all times. We make ourselves available to these other outside organizations so that they can make referrals. People have to know who we are, where we are, and what we do, right? And we don't discriminate. You can come in here little, tall, fat, small, black, white, whatever. We welcome you all, everybody. Okay, that's all I have on Tradition 10. Tradition 11 is about our public relations policies, and it kind of meshes in with 10. We don't promote, but our success is an attraction to anyone who feels like they may have a problem and wants to get some help. But we have to be careful with the public, the information that the public receives about us. I remember I had a sponsor who's gone on to glory now, rest his soul, who had a internet radio show. And he kept begging me and bugging me to come do this show. And I'm not into that kind of stuff. And it was early on a Saturday morning. And I prayed all night the night before and, you know, just became willing to just try to do the best that I could do. But I really didn't want to do it. So I get there and his co-producer was all bubbly and I was all, you know. And they kept asking me all these questions and trying to get me motivated, you know, to start sharing my story. That's all I was supposed to do, is share my story. But I could not get out of my head, and I kept thinking about, I don't represent Narcotics Anonymous. I can't say anything about Narcotics Anonymous. So I was just like stuck. Needless to say, when that was over, I flew out of that place and never done that again. But what happens in Narcotics Anonymous is that this principle of faith and effectiveness of our program gives our fellowship the ability to carry the message to the still suffering addict. I hope I'm getting rid of some time because I'm almost finished.
Okay.
Tradition 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all our traditions. Ever remind us to place principles before personality. The definition of anonymity is the state of bearing no name. The literature says that this fellowship takes its collective guidance from spiritual principles rather than individual personalities. And it's sort of like we replace self-will with God's will in all our affairs. And what I love about this program is that they don't ask us to do anything immediately. You know, everything takes time, and we don't look for perfection. Rather, we look for progression. And I love the fact that we have the ability to find our own higher power, and we have a relationship based on experience, faith and experience, right? So if I fall back a few steps, it's okay. So the foundation of the program is built on these spiritual principles, and in the 12th tradition, all of the traditions from 1 to 12 is what keeps us alive and free. What the main thing to remember is that we're here to help each other stay clean. Recovery is possible, and groups help us survive and to grow. As long as we're in a stable and supportive environment. Groups have autonomy to be free to do pretty much what they want as long as they don't affect Narcotics Anonymous as a whole. This is mine. I've been in service at the regional and the convention level for 6 years straight prior to the last 6 years because I took a break. And what I want to say about this year's, in particular, this convention, all conventions always work out, but I feel a lot of disunity going on. I felt it as soon as I walked in the door on Thursday. And that's because personalities have taken over. Our primary purpose is unity, not division. I was working in the merchandise room for the past couple of days, and what I realized is that, we all are so self-centered. We want what we want right now. And last year, what sold is not selling this year. And what's selling this year may not be selling next year, but that's the beauty of this program, that we all have the ability and the freedom to conduct ourselves and use our ideas and be creative. And what I realize is that we're not going to satisfy everybody, not all the time. And I know that if I'm not going to be part of the solution, then I'm going to be part of the problem. So if I can help, I'll step in to help. If I'm not going to be able to help, then it's in the best interest of Narcotics Anonymous that I stay away. Thank God for freedom of choice. Because our common welfare depends on Narcotics Anonymous. Our traditions teach us how to govern ourselves. And they actually work outside of Narcotics Anonymous. Last year, I was nominated and elected to be the chairperson for my family reunion. Now, let me tell you, I don't even know how many family reunions because of my using, right? I never had the $80 to pay for registration, first of all, because I need my $80 to get out with, right? Then, second of all, I couldn't leave to go outside of my town for a reunion because I was going to miss something on the quarter. Yeah, you know, so 4 years ago, they have it every 2 years, so I've gone to three now. I took my mom, rest her soul, in 2005 to Atlanta, Georgia for her last convention. That was something. Oh, my God. My mom was in the beginning stages of dementia. And we went on a Wednesday, but the family reunion didn't actually start that till that Friday. So we get off the plane on Wednesday in Atlanta, Georgia. My cousin picks us up, and she's got this little teeny Mercedes with convertible top, two-seater, right? The seats in the back is there, but when you actually sit in that joint, you don't even feel like you're in the car. And so, of course, my mom was going to sit up front, and first thing she did is sit in the seat, and then went, smashing my legs up, and she couldn't find the hole to put the seatbelt in. So we got through that. My cousin drove like a bat out of hell. We get to... She took us to, I think it's Church's Chickens or something. We went and got something to eat. Went back to my cousin's house, sat down at the dinner table, you know, broke bread together. And my mom finished her food and said, "I'm ready to go when you are." I said, "Ma, we're in Atlanta, Georgia. We're not going anywhere until, you know, Sunday." She don't know Wednesday from Thursday, right? So she pouted the rest of the day. We got ready to go to bed that night. My cousin lived in this great big old, what I would consider a mansion. So I assumed I was going to have maybe a jacuzzi in my bathroom and a flat screen TV. And I get to this room and there's two little teeny ass twin beds and a television with no cable box, and and it's only about 8 o'clock. I'm like, oh, my God. So I lay down, and about every 15 minutes, my mom would just, bam, throw open the door, click on the light switch, and she's still in her clothes. And she says, "I'm ready to go." Needless to say, I got no sleep that night because she did this consistently for every 15 minutes, all night long. So we got through that. But anyway, what I was alluding to is the fact that I was able to use the experience of those family reunions in my work as chairperson for family reunion last year. And it was a great, awesome experience. It was wonderful to have. My mom had 8 sisters and 7 brothers, and all of them prayed for me while I was using. And all of them were so proud to see me as I am today. And I learned how to delegate, instead of wearing myself out doing everything. And it turned out that each one of us had the opportunity to show our skills, our creativity, and share in the experience of doing something good. It just did my heart wonders to have my aunt, my aunts and my uncles smile at me and hug me and genuinely show me love and support. You know, so if you're new to the program of Narcotics Anonymous, our primary purpose is to get clean, lose the desire to use, and find a new way of life. But if you keep coming back, I promise you, you get so much more, right? I was taught early on to set goals for myself. And in the beginning, my goals were, as long as they were realistic, you know, I was able to meet them. But that list has grown over the years, you know, and I look forward to many more years. I recently had a sponsee was coming up on 3 years clean to pass away. And she said to me before she passed away, and I think it was just pure frustration and fear of impending doom, but she was like, why did I get clean? Just to get ready to die, you know? And I really didn't know what to say to her, except thank God you were clean, you know? And we go through a lot in this process, but we can get through anything as long as we stay clean and keep coming back. I don't know if y'all got anything out of my sharing. I'm glad it's over with. And thanks for letting me share.